That's going to be a time. That's when I could be able to cartoon. But you know, which I don't claim to be no single. I can't cartoon or nothing like that here, but I'm not singing for people. I'm singing for him. Amen. For what he done for me. He's brought victory to my life. And I believe we will sing about the victory that he performed in our lives. And I think we will also, I think, to me, I believe one of the songs that's going to be sung in heaven, that the heavenly choir is going to sing about, is about being redeemed. Because see, the angels in heaven, they don't know anything about being redeemed. But thank God I do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. If you will, turn to your Bibles in book Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We're going to be reading one verse of scripture here, but we're going to go back and we're going to be reading of some other verses here in the same chapter also. But here we can see when the impossible things become possible. There's nothing impossible with God. Everything is possible with God. But sometimes we hinder the possibilities of God within our lives. We hinder it. And we should not do that. We should say, Lord, ever what you say and ever what you want us to do, Lord, I'm at your disposal. But here in chapter 18 in the book of Luke, in verse 27, he says, and he said, this is Jesus speaking, the things which are impossible with men are what? Possible with God. Amen. We cannot do anything without God's help. And the fact this morning on that one subject there, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. It is important to notice that it was the Lord Jesus himself who spoke about the possibilities of impossible things becoming possible. The whole Bible is a commentary of these words. And the truth has been abundantly demonstrated all down the centuries. Best of all, so far as we are concerned, it is being demonstrated today. We need to remind ourselves that God is not only all wise and all loving, but he is all powerful. And it is because of that, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. What are the things which God can do? Some of them are mentioned in this 18th chapter. We're going to look at some things that where things are, as far as men is concerned, are impossible. But it's possible through God. It is possible for God to answer important prayer. It is important because of what? Because we went to God the Father. And any time that we go to God the Father through prayer, to him, it's important. To him alone, it is important Why? Because we, as his children, have come and asked something from him. We've asked him for help. We've asked him for healing. We've asked him to open doors for us. We've asked him to help us as we go out, that we may speak to people, and that he will give us the utterance and the words to say to people. But the answer is in verses 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. What he's saying is, men ought to always pray and not to faint. Not to give up. Not to give up when God don't answer the prayer today. Don't give up if God don't answer the prayer tomorrow or next week. I prayed for my brother that was next to me for 20 years. But I didn't give up. God didn't give up. And I read this verse of scripture back then. He said, I always pray and not be faint. Don't give up. Because when we least expect it, that's when the answer's coming. When we least expect it, he will surprise us. He will surprise us with the answer that he does have. And I'm thankful for that. And verse 7 says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that ye will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The reference is not a personal faith, but it's a faith of belief. It's a faith that he has given each one of us the very day that we got saved, that he instilled to us his faith, that we can have faith and trust in not only just him, but we can have trust and faith in what he speaks to us in his word. That we can have faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Lord Jesus Christ asked us to do, to trust him. Not only that, we must also have trust and faith in who other? The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is a he. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not a what. But the Holy Spirit is a he. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You cannot worship God without worshiping the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it. It's impossible. It is impossible to do that. Because the only way that we can worship God is with the power of the Holy Spirit that touches our hearts. And with the longing that Jesus has put there through his plan of salvation is where we can look to God for strength, mercy. Okay. The Lord gives us scores of promises through his word. We have promises from God's word, from Genesis all the way to the back of the book. Revelation chapter 22:21. Filled with promises. Some promises that we just overlook. But the promises of God, the most important promise that I believe that God's given us is a promise that he said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Yes, we'll leave him and we'll forsake him at times. But where is the Lord at? The Lord's right there where we left him at. Right there. When we leave the church, where is the Lord at? Is he with you when you go and get in that automobile and go home? Is he? Or have you left him in the pew? Or have I left him here behind this sacred desk? But we must ask him always to go before us. Go ahead of us. And if he goes ahead of us, all the danger that the devil puts there is blocked. God the Father is taking care of the danger. He has taken care of the safety for his people, because his people are getting slimmer and slimmer today. Says in the Bible, says the harvest is white unto, the fields are white unto harvest. The fields are white unto harvest. What is he saying? The fields are white. The fields are there are for us to be able to go into the fields. But the laborers are few. We don't have many laborers anymore that's willing to go out into the fields and give them a testimony of our own lives. Why? Like I said this past Sunday, or this past Wednesday night, or last Sunday, I don't forget which it was. Speaking about character, Caleb. Caleb had character. But what brought about that character in Caleb was his testimony. That's the reason we can go out here and we can give the people a testimony. Why? Because we have a good character. How do I know that you have a good character? It's because that you're saved by the grace of God. And you're here this morning. Now, if you won't hear this morning, then I could not say that to you, for you, that I wouldn't be here. But the individuals that are here, each and every time the doors are open, and I know sometimes some can't make it because of the work schedules and different things, but we need to pray for people. We need to pray for the Christians that has their work schedules interrupt God's service. I was talking to a preacher last evening, and he was telling me, Donnie, he said, the only thing that I see that's going to happen, and he says, I'm not saying this is what I think's going to happen. This is not from God's word. But I believe that we have not went through hard times yet. We're about ready to go through some hard times. I think, and he brought up one. He said, if you don't know anything about back in the 30s, depression. We're going through that. Because we're not going to have the means to go out here and buy like we buy now. What are they trying to do now? They're trying to do away with the dollar bill. They're going to one currency. One world government. It is possible for God. It is possible for God to answer our important prayer. Yes. God sees our prayers. That is important. If it's important to us, it's important to Him. It is possible for God to save the very worst sinner. You know, we can go in the Bible and we can look at some of the worst sinners that there was. Now, as far as I'm concerned, this is what I think, and it's what I believe, and if you think of somebody else, that's fine. But I believe as far as Jesus Christ could be on the scene, the worst sinner that ever faced God through the Lord Jesus Christ is Paul. Why do I say that? Because Paul persecuted the church. Paul had Christians killed. Paul even murdered some himself, I believe. So Paul had, but God looked down on Paul and said, and he saw something within Paul that Paul had hidden way down deep in his heart and way down deep in his soul that Paul just could not grasp a hold to it. That's just like us. God saw something in our life that was worth Him sending His Son to die on an old rugged cross. It was possible. Why? Because Jesus Christ gave. He freely gave His life to where we can freely come to His house and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Yesterday, we were supposed to celebrate the 4th of July, which is the freedom of this country, the birth of the United States of America. But I don't believe the people in there in Washington, they know anything at all about the founding fathers. They don't know anything else. They don't know anything at all about God. But they better look up. They better look up. Because the redemption draweth nigh. Think of that love that you have for your friend. Think of your love that you have toward your family members. Think of the love that you have for the Lord. And think of the love that you have with God. That what God is possible to do all things. It is possible for God to save your friends that are not saved, your family members that are not saved. Possible. But we have to remember one thing. that for God to save sinners, we must do our part. And what? I believe it's this. That we must go and share with them the testimony of what God has done for us. Yes, we can tell them that I was a sinner. And Jesus Christ went to Calvary and he shed his blood and he died for me that I could have everlasting life, that I could have the joy and the unspeakable, that one day that I can be face to face with Jesus and I can be able to bow at his feet and stand there and thank him and thank him and thank him and thank him and lay as many crowns that I have, lay them at his feet. You think that's literally going to happen? What the word says. You going to have any crowns? We all should have at least one crown. The crown of life. Speaks of salvation. But do we have the other four crowns? Do we have the crown of righteousness? Do we? Or do we have the crown of self-righteousness? The only righteousness I have is what? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's given me. He's given me his righteousness. He gave it to me at Calvary. That when I just would bow down and believe and trust in him, then he put on to me the righteousness that he has. In Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10 it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments. And as a bride adoreth herself with her jewels. Garment of salvation. And after he has placed on me the garment of salvation through what he done at Calvary, then after I received him as my Savior and as my Lord, and then he clothed me. He came to me and he put upon my shoulder that day and he put upon my back and he said, die to him. I'm going to cover you with the robe of righteousness. That's the only reason I can stand before you today and say I'm righteous. It's not because of my own righteousness, because of his righteousness. That's the reason, it's his righteousness, the robe of righteousness that God placed on me that day and he covered me with it. That's the reason when I sin and I don't go to God right then and ask for forgiveness. That's when the Holy Spirit comes and says, well, Donna says, you know that you need to come and you need to ask for forgiveness for what you just done. You know it's not right. You know God's not pleased with you. You know his son's not pleased with you. His son went to Calvary. You know his son's not pleased with you. And Donna, I'm definitely not pleased with you. So then I go to the Holy Spirit. Has the Holy Spirit spoken?
I apologize and I ask for forgiveness through the Holy Spirit. And then I go to the Lord Jesus Christ and I say, God the Father, through the Son, I ask the Son to forgive me. For I've sinned against Him. Forgive me. Then what happened? I don't go to the Father. We don't have to take it to God. We have to take it to the Son. We have to get to the Son. How do you get to the Son? Through the Holy Spirit. I know I may have said a few months ago that we have to ask all three. We don't have to ask all three. We have to ask the Holy Spirit and we have to ask the Son. Because see, after we ask the Son to forgive us, then the Father's going to say, what happened? He's your Son. Daddy, this is Don Abel again, and he done something he shouldn't have done. He didn't come all right at first. The Holy Spirit had a day with him, but he did come and ask for forgiveness for it. God the Father says, Son, what sin are you talking about? What sin are you talking about? I don't see no sin on his life. He said, the only thing I see is your blood. See, God the Father cannot look past the blood. Because see, if God the Father said, well, I seen that sin on his life. I'm thankful that he came and asked for forgiveness for it. If that was the case, then what he said there, that day at Mount Calvary, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and he gave up his ghost. Let the vinegar pass by. He took up his ghost. But with all of that, when the sin left the people that was around the cross, that's what he meant by, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When the Son took up their sin that day, and the sin of the one thief that was on his left side, that's when the Father turned his back on his only begotten Son. Why? Because he could not look down on sin. That's the reason God turned his back. So the statement that God made in the Bible says, I see no sin. So the only thing I see is the blood that covers him.
He's trusted you as your Lord and Savior. Yes, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, He's my comforter. He's the one that comforts me. He's the one that looks after me. He's the one that deals with me every day. He's the one that speaks to me about going here and going there. He's the one that speaks to me when I read His Word. And then not only that, the Son also speaks. The Son is always there. He's always around. And I'm so thankful for that. That He's always there around me. He was there when I was stumbling there at one time. And when I went to the hospital, like I told you before, I believe it was, I was laying in the hospital in the bed that night. I didn't sleep hardly any at all that night. Just about all night I stayed up. I was talking about God. I was talking about Him. And how much God has done for me and everything. You know, we can talk about God. We can talk about God in a good way. God wants us to talk about it. God wants us to talk to other people about it. But as I was down in the bed that morning, still hadn't gone to sleep, I looked up at the clock there, and sometime around between four and five, I forgot exactly what time it was. And I noticed. And I reckon I do this at home. I don't know. But I noticed I had the pillow there. And I don't know why. Shelby says I do it at the home, so I reckon that's how I do it. But I always take this arm, especially. I'll always turn on my right side. And I'll always take this arm. And I'll take it and I'll put it under my pillow. And I'll hug it and I'll wrap it around me. And I noticed that morning that I was doing the same thing there. That I was hugging it so tight. I was hugging God. Why? Because He was right there in the same bed where I sat. He says He'd never leave me nor forsake me, didn't He? So He's not going to leave me there in the hospital by myself. He's going to not allow me to go through surgery by myself. He's going to be right there with me. He's going to feel each and every pain that I feel. Why? Because he's already felt the pain. But possible. Everything is possible. It's nothing impossible with God. I still have a vision for this church. It's still not impossible with God. But when is it going to happen? I don't know. When I least expect it, I reckon. He's going to open the doors and He's going to open the floodgates.
And I hate to say this, it's going to probably be some people that comes in probably that I don't like their lifestyle. And I don't like the way they're living. But see, the thing about it is, if God sends them here, they're lost. If they ever trust in Jesus Christ, they'll give up the lifestyle that they're living. And they'll start living for God. Do y'all know the... Well, he's an actor, but he was on the... I forgot what the name of the program was now. It's... his name? Cameron.
Kirk.
Yeah, Kirk Cameron. I heard him one day... on a TV program. It was down in South Carolina. It was him and, I don't know, three or four other people. And that's all Christians. And you know him, he loves God. I mean, I tell you what, it's... Some of the things that he's been through since he's got saved. I mean, today, I don't see how people could do and make it through the things that he's been through. But he says he gives God all the praise and all the glory for it. He's, because since I've been saved, God's protected me. He said, I've had people to shoot at me. And he said, he knows that God has put his hands up. And it would not harm him. It would miss him. People talk about him like he's a nobody. He's not a nobody, he's a somebody. But he said something. And I hadn't thought about it until recently, because I wrote some notes today and I got them at the house. He said this. He says, I know what the Bible says about judging. We're not supposed to judge people, and we're not. But he said this. He said, we can read scripture. We're not judging. God the Father's already judged people. He's already judged them. And he's going to bring more judgment down upon them. We need to be mindful. I need to be mindful to that. They just need a Savior. They just need a Savior. And if they truly get saved and had the blood of Jesus applied to their life, if they meant what they came to the altar for, if they meant it, you'll see a change in the life. They come to get saved on Sunday morning, they'll be back on Sunday night in a way possible. They'll be back on all services in a way possible. I know people today have to work But why is it? It's always the Christian that everything falls back on. You know, I'm going to say this, and I don't know if any of y'all ever heard it or not, but I know it to be a fact. The Seventh-day Adventists, you know, they worship on Saturday. Did you realize that there's no place of business can make them, and they cannot lose their job if they don't work on Saturday? But now, a Christian, and I reckon the reason they do that is because this day and time, people use it so lightly. They use it so lightly. But as far as the Christians, the true Christian, that wants to be in God's house on Sunday, morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Hey, you ain't got to work if you don't want to. You just won't have a job tomorrow. That's wrong. That's wrong. You know, more people today need Jesus than they ever have before. Everyone stand, all head bowed, eyes closed, as Brother Bill comes. Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. And Father, we thank you for the possibles. And Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, there's nothing impossible with you. Father, that you can do everything that you say that you will do. And Father, we thank you for that. Now, Lord, we ask in today. And Father, I believe that we can come in agreement. The people can. This morning, Father, that we would love to see the outpouring of Thy Spirit upon this church. God, it would draw people in that they may be saved. And for the Christian that's a wayward off, Father, Lord, we pray, Father, that they will come back to the house of God. Father, they need to be in church serving you because they lost their first love. Now, Father, we not coming and just asking you these things, but Father, you say in your word, if we come and ask, Father, that you will deliver what we've asked. Now, Father, we're not asking for something for ourselves. We're asking in behalf of the other people that's not saved and the ones that's not in church. We're doing that. We're coming to you, Father, in our behalf. Now, Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. Because, Father, through your word, you say that you will do the impossible. We thank you for that. Thank you for these thy people this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. One verse. Be fine.
Page 220.